The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will proclaim your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated, please. Well, here we are, charging our way through Advent. We're already halfway through. We've got two of the four candles lit. Advent, being such a short season, has developed over the years a tradition of names for each one of the Sundays. You get to longer seasons, like ordinary time, you know, that wouldn't be possible. But here, last Sunday is what's called in the church New Sunday, because Advent is the beginning of the new year for us. It's the new church year. Next Sunday is called Rose Sunday, and that's because we light the pink candle there. That's been a tradition. It comes from a Latin word that used to be in the readings and not always in that particular Sunday, and that sounded a lot like the word for pink in Latin. The fourth Sunday in Advent is called Mary Sunday. And that's not M-E-R-R-Y, it's M-A-R-Y. And it's why I really want to put in a plug for you all, even though it's Sunday is Christmas Eve that evening, to come to the service that morning. Because it's our chance in the church to remember Mary and her wonderful gift that she gives to us that I'm sure you'll hear more about on that Sunday morning. Sometimes in Protestant traditions like the Episcopal Church, Mary can get overlooked. And so it's nice to have that Mary Sunday. But I haven't mentioned this candle right here, this Sunday. And you know that the church has developed some fun sort of traditions for interesting reasons. The reason this Sunday got its name goes all the way back started before then, but it goes back to the 1928 prayer book in its lectionary. The reading that we had today from Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," used to be read every year on the second Sunday of Advent. Now it's only read once every 3 years. However, we still call it, from back in those old days, this is called Comfort Sunday. The day of comfort. Now, comfort and Advent, I'm not sure they all, we always think of those as going together. If you really look at Advent, it's a time of tension. It's always a tension between clergy and congregations, because the congregations want to get to the Christmas stuff. And the clergy want to say, no, don't overlook Advent. There's some wonderful stuff here. Wonderful music, wonderful readings, wonderful traditions. So there's that tension. But even within the season itself, remember it has a two-point focus. One is to prepare to remember the first coming of Jesus. So we're preparing our hearts for that. But there's that second strand there that can be very awkward. And that strand is preparing for the second coming of Jesus. Okay?
I remember, I'm sure for those that have heard me before and have now, you should bring it up, but it always makes me laugh. When I was a little kid, I'd go to church and I'd hear these readings about Jesus coming again. And I'd go home that night, and when I'd be saying my prayers, I'd say, Jesus, I really am looking forward to you coming back and all, but not right now. I was really invested in the world as it was, because I knew there were presents. I didn't want it to change. So that was more of a threat to me than a comfort. And nowadays, it still gets used that way. You know, so much in religion, the people can be infantilized, can be turned into children, and treated like children. And so, you know, there was, for a while, there was a bumper sticker, Jesus is coming, and boy, is he pissed, remember that? And it was like, you got to do the right thing, or you're going to get punished. And the day of punishment is coming. Okay? Where's the comfort in that? Why do we have a comfort Sunday? But see, that's not what it's about. There's also that whole thing we struggle with or can struggle with as Christians. You know, we have this promise of Jesus returning, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It's been 2,000 years. Okay. What's that all about? What are these end times? What are these promises that we have? Why do we have them? Well, as you read through Scripture, what God is promising us is God's kingdom coming in its fullness. And as Christians, we believe that that kingdom is already here, all around us, but it's not here in its fullness. You and I have to choose to live in that kingdom. We have to, every time we have a choice in front of us, choose to do the loving, compassionate thing. And that's a struggle, to figure it out. Especially in a world that doesn't seem to honor that. That sometimes seems to honor that old kingdom of God understanding even less and less. We feel more like a set-apart minority, but we still have that powerful message. That God wants this world to be a kingdom where people are treated with justice and compassion and mercy and kindness and love. And the comfort is in knowing that as we struggle to live in that kingdom, God wants it too. That someday, that kingdom will be here in its fullness. And we each have a role to play in that kingdom coming into place. We each have a purpose for our lives. We're here to bring to fullness that kingdom of God, and by God, you'll be given opportunities to do it. Look for them. Take them. And when there are setbacks, when you feel like you haven't done it as fully as you should, your job of bringing the kingdom to its fullness, well, the comfort is that it'll still happen. And our God forgives us and helps us get up and try again with the very next choice that we make. That's the point of Advent, reminding each and every one of us as we head into the new year, new round of Bible readings, new round of sermons, new rounds of classes, Bible classes or theology classes or whatever we're doing, new round of getting involved in our communities and trying to build a world of love, that God will be there beside us because God wants it. What a comfort. And that whole idea that Jesus is coming, and boy, he's pissed. No. What it is that when we do turn the world, we do succeed in turning the world into a place of love, compassion, mercy, when we do succeed, then metaphorically Jesus has become our king. Because the world reflects Jesus' values. And in order for us to live those values, we have to learn them, and then we have to live them. We learn them, and we live them together. Because otherwise, it can be overwhelming. Our comfort is in knowing that those values don't, that we aren't alone responsible for those values. That God wants them to happen, and that the church with us will support us in making decisions that sometimes the rest of the world doesn't understand. That's the beauty of Advent. It's the beauty of our lives. It's the beauty of the Christmas message. Amen. Amen.